What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, July 14th, 2017. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside my Irish cream,
the creamiest,
Danny O'Dwyer.
My coffee is without cream, have you noticed?
I have noticed
that. Now watch it.
Ah. Oh, it's all tan, and this is gross.
I don't know why I burned my finger.
I
could have done
it. The visual gag could have stopped. There's no sky cam on you. Nobody knows what's happening.
I'm learning.
It's Friday, buddy.
It is.
You excited?
500 days of O'Dwyer is almost over.
That's good. We should have called this week. Right. Yeah, you're right. I guess that's right. Yeah, it was your first week. You played catch up.
I did.
Try to get as many shows as Andrea had.
It was great.
You did. Yeah. Next week we roll out the real schedule.
Yes.
Of like Tim and then Andrea, then you, then Andrea, then you,
perfect.
And there you go.
That's
the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you'll have to go off and do some NoClip documentary.
Yeah, I know.
Gone forever. Right. Speaking of travel, a little bit of housekeeping for you. Next week is San Diego Comic-Con Thursday.
Wow.
I'm down there hosting two panels, Call of Duty World War II Zombies and Marvel Games. Both are in the same room. One starts at 11:45, the next starts at 1 o'clock, so you can just sit there the whole time. What is so funny about me hosting things?
Nothing about you hosting. It's just I had not heard anyone say the words World War II Zombies.
Zombie mode.
It sounds just a little bit disrespectful. But
just a little, but... Most of the World War II veterans are gone now, so we can do it. You know, enough time.
So let's get them back.
Exactly. Let's get them back in here, see what's going on with them. Ladies and gentlemen, this, of course, is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday here on whatever Kinda Funny platform you're watching. We dive deep into the nerdy news you need to know about. Really get into there, that video game news, talk about it, dissect it, answer your questions, and have a good time. Remember, you can watch live over on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames as we record it, and you can keep us honest by going to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Tell us what statistic, what we've screwed up, what fact we got wrong. No editorializing, just what facts we got wrong. If we need more information, like why you use Mixer, I ask for it, and then I get a whole bunch of responses, and I'm proud of that. Of course, if you don't want to watch it live, no big deal. It goes up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services around the globe. Remember, we need your support. We are a new podcast. Please go subscribe, like, over on YouTube. Then go to iTunes, subscribe, leave a review, share with your friends, whatever. Even if you're just going to watch us, do it on Twitch and never do anything.
Do it. Have it be the last thing you do before your weekend starts. You know, you got that last little job you got to do.
Yeah.
Just boom, do it. And then free.
And remember, if you got Amazon Prime, you got Twitch Prime. And every 30 days, you need to give that to somebody. Why not give it to us? Otherwise, Amazon pockets your money and nothing happens.
I keep forgetting about that. I wish that was auto.
I
keep forgetting.
Well, that's
why
they don't do it, because it seems like such a thing, and then they know that you're gonna lapse and forget to go give it to somebody.
I need like a reminder.
I'll give you one every 30 days. I'll come over.
Danny, it's time. Give us your money.
I want to do two things before we jump into the Roper Report. Mm. Number one, it has now been confirmed that new 3DS production has stopped worldwide. Yesterday it was just Japan.
Yes.
Remember? And we were like, oh my god! And then it's
clapping. That?
There's still a million other 3DSs going around. That it doesn't matter. It doesn't do that at all. And then, as I said, we have the Mixer updates of people why they use Mixer.
Yes.
Do you want that as an appetizer or as a dessert, Danny O'Dwyer?
I think an amuse-bouche. Like, let's go for it now.
Okay, go for it now.
Yeah.
So in a new segment, because remember, you can write in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Be part of the show. Give us new segments. We have a new segment called, yeah, I use Mixer. Because yesterday we said, who uses Mixer? We don't understand why you would do it.
Yeah.
And we didn't do it in an offensive way. We're very much like, we just don't understand. Let us know. A whole bunch of you wrote in, like Mr. Kelso. Mr. Kelso wrote in and said, hey there. I am a Mixer streamer who came to the platform after Microsoft acquired them last August. The name of the platform used to be called Beam. Mm. The main reason I use Mixer is... Number one, there's almost no latency. Mixer has a streaming protocol called FTL, which allows for 0.02 second latency between broadcaster and viewer.
Yeah, exactly.
Number two, it has interactive buttons that can influence gameplay. Spawning creepers in Minecraft or in Xbox One's upcoming game, The Darwin Project, allow the audience to buff or debuff characters in Battle Royale-style games.
That's cool. You can
also just set up the interactive buttons to act like a soundboard for your audience. The interactive buttons use a currency called Sparks on the site, which you accumulate by watching streams.
That's cool.
Yeah, I know, that's the whole thing, like dropping creepers on you left and right. You're like, I just want to finish this, go away. And number three, the community is smaller but growing.
Right.
I chose to stream on Mixer instead of Twitch because I really enjoy the low latency and having the live conversation with my audience instead of the typical 20-second delay. I love Kinda Funny Games Daily. Shout out to Andrea and Danny, Mr. Kelso. Good reasoning there. Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah, I can totally appreciate the small community aspect of it as well.
Right, because
it's part of something that's growing.
That was something I think that, you know, maybe we took for granted yesterday in the conversation because we were just getting our feet into it and getting onto something else, is the fact that I guess it does make sense too of like, wow, I want to stream full time. I want to try to do this as a career, blah, blah, blah. Do I go to Twitch where I'm one of a gajillion people streaming anything, or do I go to Mixer where there's a smaller community, there's a smaller audience? Maybe I can establish myself there where somebody's already established themselves on Twitch. That makes sense to me. Willie Diaz wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, I use Mixer because it supported 4K streams during the Xbox E3 panel. Parentheses, yes, I have a 4K TV and Xbox One S. I do plan on getting an Xbox One X. And the stream was crystal clear with no hiccups.
That's right.
Using that stream helped me to see the quality of the visuals for the console and sold me on the Xbox One X. As far as I'm not sure if Twitch streaming supports 4K.
I don't think so.
It's somebody who's just like, I don't care. It looks fine to me.
And 4K over the internet, like the way in which video is compressed is like such a weird thing as well. Like, stuff is 4K, but like, is it 4K?
Yeah. Matthew wrote in and said, regarding Mixer, it being built into the Xbox and Windows 10 is the primary reason I use it. Right. I don't stream professionally, but it allows me to stream on both platforms with no effort. Latency is so low, I can play and talk to friends in a party Discord, and they can see exactly what I do. Since it's tied to the Microsoft ecosystem, it allows my friends to participate in the chat without setting up a counter or anything. Thanks for the show. Have a good weekend, guys.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we had another long one here from Basic EXP, Basic Experience, of course. You asked about Mixer. As a huge Xbox guy, responded. Mixer holds a few advantages, some of which you touched on. I've listed the ones here. Low latency, we've talked about. Mm. Oh, second, co-streaming is an extremely attractive feature for watching groups of people play, especially when paired with low latency. You can imagine streaming Friday the 13th with some best friends, where a viewer can see both Jason and the counselor stream simultaneously with essentially no delay. That is really cool. Because like for Twitch, it's got to be that you have to jump. Yeah, there's that third party site you go to that you put both names in and then you can watch both streams at once. That is actually really cool. He talks about 4K, talks about it being integrated there. And then here's one I didn't. He says, fifthly, because he gave me five reasons. Mm. Mixer has a level system that, besides scratching that nerd itch, allows people who stream or watch a great deal of content to gain additional benefits, including influence the streams directly with the sparks that somebody else mentioned.
Like their account levels up?
Exactly.
So addicted to that in the old GameSpot. Used to get emblems for every E3 press conference you watched.
Oh, yeah.
Like basically achievements before achievements for achievements.
Sure.
Every fucking year I would like make sure. I left my work sometimes to go to a web cafe to tune into the Nintendo conference so I got that fucking emblem.
You dork. I liked it when they launched the Twitch app originally on Xbox, and it was like you popped achievos would pop, or like you'd watch it for that long. I'm like, yes, of course, that's how you do it for Netflix too. Make us all sit there and it's like, are you still watching? Like, yeah, fuck yeah, I am still watching. And you pop a trophy.
It's like
or
you're
something.
Watching Schindler's List, and it'd then the red dress comes up, and it's like, bing, red dress. I'm like, yeah,
fuck yeah,
fucking own Schindler's
God
List.
Goddamn, love World War II. Basic XP's final thing is side notes. Applications like XSplit already support Mixer, so there's no concern about software incompatibility, but Mixer is lacking in the YouTube integration department. Uploading VODs to YouTube is a drawn out process compared to how simple it is on Twitch. Even though, as somebody who has done it in the Kevin, I know I never want to talk to you on this show, not because I don't like you, but because I want the show to be a specific way. But this is into your wheelhouse now. Do we ever still upload straight from Twitch? Once in a great while, right?
If something has gone wrong and we aren't recording locally, we'll just transfer it
back
over.
In the day, I remember you used to, like, I would say one out of seven would fail. Is that still happening with Twitch to YouTube conversion?
No, I don't. I mean, I don't think so. You're anytime not seeing I've it? Done it, I haven't seen that.
I did it a lot the end of last year with my Ocarina of Time thing, and it was fine. It used to fail.
Yeah, it used to fail really all the time, and that's why I didn't want to talk to it as an authority on it, because I haven't seen it so long.
But the trimming is what I love about that as well.
Yeah, it makes it really useful. Yeah. It's really
you just
useful.
Make a highlight and then go, yeah.
So thank you, Mixer friends, for writing in and letting us know. Yeah. Remember, anytime you want to talk, kindoffunny.com/KFGD. There's a whole bunch of different fields you can fill in whatever's going on. Just be cool about it, you know?
Make up your own section.
Exactly. Make up your whole thing. It doesn't matter. Let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. That's the best one you've ever done. Yeah. Good job, Kev.
End the week on a high note.
We have three items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Number one, Dream Daddy. A dad dating simulator has been delayed.
Oh.
We talked about it yesterday, that it was coming out. My friend Vernon Shaw. We're going to get into some stuff here.
Yeah.
For the record, I love Vernon. Vernon stayed at my house on this last SF press tour. Hmm. He was on Game Over Greggy show. Think Vernon's great. He's the guy who did Hot Pepper Gaming, works at Game Grumps, does all this stuff.
Yeah, lovely guy. I've met him a couple of times.
Great dude.
The panel's fun.
And it's one of those where they said yesterday the game was going to come out. Tweeted in the morning that it was going to come out, and then we're kind of radio silent all day until they put out the following statement. Hey everyone, Vernon here. Today was supposed to be the release of Dream Daddy, a dad dating simulator. So weird to say. We had been working under crunch conditions for the past 3 weeks, and going into today, we all felt confident that we could release a game to you. As it went later into the day, it became more apparent with more late game bug discoveries that this wasn't yet the version of the game we wanted to release. I checked in with all of the developers on the project with us, and while they were working as hard as they could, it was obvious that the last 3 weeks of sleep deprivation were taking their toll. We all sat down and talked it through, ultimately deciding that we can't release the game tonight. We want to put out the good game that you all deserve, but to do that, it's going to take a little more time. The plan right now is that we're all going to go home, get 12 hours of much-needed sleep, and then come back to you tomorrow with a new release date. I want to personally apologize to all of you who've been waiting patiently for this game. I'm sorry for being silent while we were trying to figure out what to do. This wasn't an easy decision to make, but in the end, I think it will mean that you will receive a game that you'll love as much as we do. Please feel free to reach out to me personally on Twitter, at Vernon Shaw, if you have any questions. Thank you, Vernon.
All right.
Now, so that's what happens. I, of course, woke up that morning like, oh, Dream Daddy's out today. We put it in the show. Great. You know what I mean? We're like, what the hell is Mixer? We went to Mixer. They were doing a Dream Daddy playthrough on Up at Noon.
Right. Yeah.
And there was like, I think a Geek and Sundry stream and stuff like that and all these different things. And then kind of forgot all about it. Went to bed without ever thinking to look into it. I did another podcast last night, blah, blah, blah. Wake up this morning to this and I'm like, oh, man. That sucks.
Yeah.
It sucks because I was looking forward to playing the game, of course, but it sucks because I know personally how hard Vernon and the team was working on this and how they were checking in all the time and doing all this communication. And then it was reading the responses to this tweet that really was like, oh, fuck. I'm not going as far to say I understand exactly where these people are coming from, but I've been excited for a game that got delayed and then been like, oh man, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But I don't think I was ever this mad about it.
Yeah.
You saw these responses. Am I mischaracterizing them?
No, it's been interesting reading them, and it's, you know, it's like the struggle you have every day on the internet when you're putting things out there and people are responding to them in that, like, how much do we take the veracity of these people? Is it like vocal minority stuff? I mean, he's got, you know, 3,000 retweets on the Dream Daddy post, 12,000 likes, but then there's some of the stuff is, it's just that type of weird entitlements that people have about something that, I mean, I guess they're about to spend money on it, so they feel like ownership over it, but like, it's, clearly, this isn't something that Vernon and the team would have wanted to done.
Yeah.
It's like blaming somebody for getting in a car crash where somebody hit into them. It's like, it's just a shit thing that's happened. Let's wait 24 hours. Hopefully everything will be okay and we can keep going, getting on with it.
You know, and remember, kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. I won't not count this as being wrong, but if during the recording of this show, they announced release date.
Right.
Well, for me, what it was is I understand to an extent the argument of the really mad kids. And like we were talking about, it is a vocal minority.
Right.
The silent majority is like, okay, cool, I'll play it when it comes out, no big deal. But there's people on this tweet that are like, I've been up since 3 a.m. waiting and refreshing this page. You owed it to us to give us an update earlier. Why didn't you do this? Blah, 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 blah. And it's...
I can kind of accept that.
You understand where they're coming from.
Yeah.
In the way of, in a perfect world, it would have been great to have a live stream of Vernon sitting there being like, I think I got it. We got it. We don't got it. Yeah. Okay, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Clearly, I think the statement says it all in the way that up until probably a few hours before they wrote this very nice letter, they were, we're going to do this. We're going to get this fucking game out today. We can do it. Huzzah. And I've been there. You've been there with projects we work on where it's like, yep,
totally,
we're going to be able to get this done. And then there's that
Final Fantasy 1 got pushed back a week because
there's this gut check moment where you're finally, you have to make that really hard decision. And so I understand making a statement, hey, we need, because I did see the statement earlier that day of like, hey, we need a little bit more time with this. We'll be with you shortly.
Yeah, because it said, when we checked yesterday, it said it'll be 7 hours before it's up.
Yeah. And so I think the people were like, well, why didn't you update us earlier? Well, you had an update. And then to get to this point and see this letter later on, and maybe it wasn't 7 hours exactly, it was the fact of like, well, okay, but like, they were updating you as it happened. It wasn't like, still planning on this, still planning on that. Maybe it'll be a little bit later, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's a shitty situation.
And when you're a small team working frantically to fix something, it's sometimes hard to like put on your like developer hat and then like put on your community hat. Your brain is kind of not thinking about
both. Especially when you're putting on the community hat and being like, all right, cool, I want to go talk to Tumblr and subreddit and Twitter and this. Like, no, that's an hour outside of where if I just, maybe that hour would be the make or break in their head of like, we can get this done.
And sometimes you end up like kicking yourself in the arse by over-promising and over-communicating beforehand. Sure. I've learned on some of the projects we've done where I've said, like, oh, it's going to be up at, like, noon on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Like, never say noon on Tuesday because it'll be up at 12:30 and you'll have 30 minutes of people waiting for it. Yeah. Because if you just say Tuesday or early in the week, people's expectations are kind of fitted accordingly. So, like, he was very communicative this week on Twitter with lots of people, with, like, people like me who were, like, are in the press and, you know, doing various shows and stuff, and also with just general folks who were interested in the game. Yeah. And that probably ended up, like, biting them in the arse a bit because, like, ultimately, what's a 24-hour swing? Like, it's nothing in the world of internet, you know? It's fine, you know, or video games. So... yeah, I feel bad for him. This certainly sounds like first game blues a little bit, maybe.
And that's the problem I really have with it is the fact that, you know, you brought up, you know, your production. It happens. That kind of funny. We've learned many a time not to say if we think a video is coming out at this specific time, unless we know, like, well, you know, like party mode is always going to pop at 9 on Patreon and then 9 the next day on games and so on and so forth with our other schedules. And there'll be days we'll miss those, but not drastically. And hopefully we'll tell you. But, you know, communication is a big thing where it was like, you know, talking about leading up to Kinda Funny Live 3, right? Where people were raising concerns about, well, where's this, where's that? And all we could say was, well, wait for Kinda Funny Live 3. Like, we're going to announce things there.
Yeah.
And that wasn't like a great, they didn't want to hear that. They wanted to know what it was. Like, why are you waiting? It's like, well, let's just get through the storm and get over there. And like, communication is something we've had, you know, we've learned a lot about. And I think that, back to first game blues, that's what sucks, right? Is like, you know, the Game Over Greggy show, Vernon's on. Because it's about games, but not about games. And it's about Vernon fucking around with us. You know, topic two of it, right, is talking about, like, their advertising marketing ideas for this game. And how, like, they did such a short cycle of, like, this game exists. It's the Game Grump game. It's not what you think it is. It's Dream Daddy. Because they announced, like, right after E3. Mm. And then it was, like, here, it's coming out right here. It's coming out at the end of July or middle of July. And then for them now to have missed that, it's like, oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
And especially when you, I know it's, I don't know how visible it is to you guys out there, but for Vernon to go make the rounds appropriately, of to come up here and do us, do IGN, do some Geek and Sundry stuff, do their own things, do the Game Grump stream. Like, they have all these things lined up perfectly, all pointing to Thursday.
Right.
And then to get there and not be able to hit it. I think it's a rare occasion where, even though I've never made a game, I've made enough content and stuff that I feel like I can understand both sides of the argument.
Yeah.
Where to be on the other side of, like, I'm not going to fucking worry about my Twitter right now. I'll never be able to respond to everybody. Let's just bite down and get this done. Let's get it done. Let's get it done. Fuck, we're not going to get it done.
Because if you get it done, then all is forgiven.
Exactly. Exactly. Nobody would, whatever. It's late, but it's here and happy. You know what I mean? But and then on the other side, you promised this. You said this was going to happen on this day. Where is it? I don't know if I'd be so indignant as, like, I know you're a super small team, and I also know this is, like, your first game, and, like, whatever.
Yeah, I think, like,
you'll be fucking these dads in no time.
Like, I think you're right. It's totally fine to be disappointed in that way, but there is, like, no, you don't get a blank check to be mean or disrespectful.
And I guess that's
the
thing is, like, I don't understand why some people take it. And I guess I do. I was gonna say, I don't understand why people are so mean to devs. But I do, because it's the internet, and you're firing off of this person who's creating something that you don't know, and they're just making the game. You just want this game, and you feel like you're owed it at this point.
And I think, like, for the longest time, we were briefly talking about it before, actually, about how, like, the way in which games were presented to people was very much like the one auteur who is, like, the confident face of this development.
Sure.
So the way we think about, like, BioShock is, like, Ken Levine, who you can sit down and he'll like, be master of the conversation and talk, you know, eloquently and
every in and out of that game and what happened, how it got made.
But what you don't see is, like, the reality of people who are making these games is people working very long hours, frantically worrying and giving it their all. So I think for a while we sort of thought about, we think about games in the flashy marketing sense and we attack them that way.
Yeah.
Whereas actually if people thought about the sort of human element of it, then
and that's
might
the thing.
Pull back a bit.
And I guess that's the thing about it is, like, you lose sight of the human element. And so many people for us, and I imagine for you too with Noclip, that, you know, it is the, okay, don't worry. Thank you for telling us. It's no big deal. We'll wait. It's not, I don't mind that the video is late. It sucks. I was looking forward to, but I, you know, part of my routine on Friday is listening to the early show, but if it's not going to happen, blah, blah.
Right.
And, like, I think that is the fact of when you get to talking about, all right, cool, it's a video game and there's this person on camera and then there are all these people. I have no idea who they are behind the scenes. It's so easy to be like, well, then they're not this. It isn't made by a team of people who are trying their hardest, making this content, doing what they can.
Right. It's made by, like, the publisher.
Exactly.
Like EA or somebody's Twitter numbers or somebody's whatever, you know, there's always a way to paint painted like...
To strip away some of the humanity of
it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
So, I mean, hopefully, there's been some lovely people saying nice things as well. Jack Septibai jumped in and said nice stuff.
And that's the thing. The majority of people totally understand, totally not a big deal. Mm. The people who are, oh man, that sucks, I'm not mad at them. I'm not mad at anybody. That's a weird way to put it. But like the people who are on here of like, there's some guy on there and it's something like, I don't fucking care how tired you are or whatever. And it's like, damn, dude, like, no, like, that's not, what are you talking about? Like, I understand you wanted this game and they thought they were going to hit this date, but they didn't do this. It's not like this is like they're twirling their evil mustache. Right, yeah. This was their plan.
We'll make them wait.
Get their hopes up and crash them down.
Mitch Dyer just simply said, stay alive.
Yeah.
Which is a good way of putting how hard people work at the end of a game cycle.
Exactly.
So, yeah. I mean, fingers crossed. By the time this goes up on VOD or by the time you watch this in a couple of days, hopefully it'll be up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We'll see. Number two on the Roper Report. You can now play the first 10 hours of Mass Effect Andromeda for free.
Cool.
Off PSN, Xbox Live, PC, all of them.
I'm probably going to do this.
Really?
Yeah. There's something so baller about putting like a demo up of 10 hours of your game that came out just like a couple of months back.
And now here's the thing. Is it baller or desperate?
Like both.
That's my question. And desperate is like me painting with a broad brush. But I mean, for me, it's a very, all right, we got to try to salvage this game in terms of what public opinion of this game is. And if they play it for 10 hours, maybe they'll be like, you know what? No, this wasn't it. Why is everybody hung up on the facial animations that have been patched or whatever? That's not what this is about anymore.
And your expectation of a game that you're getting for free for 10 hours is very different to a game that you spent $60 on that you were looking forward for 2 years.
Yeah.
So it could help. But what I'm sort of a little bit confused about is, from all the, like the reporting about around the game, it kind of sounds like they're just like putting it to bed anyway. Like it sounds like the DLC stuff's not going to happen.
Oh, I hadn't heard that part.
Yeah, there was that story that came out about there was a fake story element where some studio was saying that they were working on single player DLC that was getting canceled, and then they basically EA came out and said like, oh, that's nonsense. But also, yes, there is no story DLC coming out for this game, obviously. And it also sounds like a lot of the team has been pushed into other teams. Sure. Like maybe they're not working on the new trilogy. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
If those are the case, then it is also a little bit interesting. I mean, maybe it's just like there are summer sales going on. Maybe we'll get the game out there and somebody will
buy it. And for me, that's one of the things. I feel like at first you're like, oh, what a cool move. But I don't even know if I thought that. You know, you jumped a baller. I immediately went like, oof. Like, I think it is like a cut your losses of like,
right,
this game drastically underperformed. Public opinion is in on it and they say it sucks. Mm. We need to get it out in any way possible. And so, to loop people in for that first 10 hours. Cause I think I played probably a little bit more than the first 10 hours of the game. Right. And I was like, this is good. This is cool. Yeah. It looks goofy though, whatever. But it was like, I really like the narrative thread they start with of like, we're Pathfinder and we're out here and we have to find a home for humanity, all these different things.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting enough that it could hook people, but it is this thing of like, it feels like a last ditch Hail Mary effort to your point of like because I'd heard them being like, well, we're not going to worry about any more right now with it. Right. This is a last ditch effort of like, no, get in. This is a cool world. See what's happening. Get excited about it and let it go from there.
Gauge interest.
Even that, I feel like it's gone too far. This reminds me a little bit of what we're talking about earlier in the week with No Man's Sky, where it's like, all right, cool. People have decided. And I don't know how much it matters if the subreddit for Mass Effect and like Andy, who's one of the biggest Mass Effect fans I know, likes it fine, likes it good enough, enjoyed his time with it. Mm. But I think you've lost the luster of what the Mass Effect trilogy was and how to get the mainstream people into it.
And that to make that second game now has to be so much better than what it originally needed to be.
And
it's like the opposite of the Uncharted thing you were saying a couple of days back, where like Uncharted 1, you stack it up against 2 and 3, it's you can tell it's the first part, but but people weren't expecting it to be amazing. So it was a stepping stone to something greater, whereas this is a step down. So you need to make sure the next one's even higher. So, and that's a really difficult thing to make.
I think especially when you talk about the way Anthem was received, the way people saw that and like fucking everyone was like, holy shit, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're talking about, the team dispersing and being put on different projects. I'm sure some are swinging over to that. And it's got to be that thing of like, maybe the ship has sailed now in Mass Effect. Mm-hmm. And rather than try to get people to go buy it at full price because it'll come around, cut your losses, get here, make more money on this game than we're making now, and then move on and worry about what we're going to do with that franchise later.
Yeah.
Which is a sad way to end the Mass Effect thing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, even the ending of 3 and what happened, we're talking about like internet reactions to things. That whole saga was also kind of a little bit of an ugly way to end
and
it.
And I wonder how much of that led to them being like, we're going to do more Mass Effect. You know what I mean? Because like, granted, it's a franchise and it has this fan base and there's money behind it. I feel if you go out and Mass Effect 3's ending is universally praised and everybody's like, wow, what a great ending to a trilogy. They would have been like, boom, bookended. Let's worry. Right. Anthem, whatever. Let's do that. Let's try new ideas. Whereas like now they're like, let's do it again. Let's do Andromeda. And it is, they knew from the beginning, everybody would be compared to Shepard and that crew. And all these different things,
which is probably why they went the direction they did, right? Yeah. It's like the Star Trek Voyager to the, you're not a Star Trek fan,
yeah? No, not at all. Okay. But I knew you're talking about
it's where the next generation.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, all this shit over here, totally different place, totally different people, totally different whatever.
Yeah,
which seemed to work as a concept. And you said you enjoyed the jumping off point.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, I could get excited for it, but when I started playing it was, ooh, this feels like I remember Mass Effect playing like, which sounds weird, but it's that thing of like, well, yeah, but I feel like so many games make that jump. You know what I mean? I've leapt from a PS3 to a PS4 now. Like this should feel different, and like we've seen so many people. I mean, like. Witcher changed everything, right? Yes, like we've seen open world RPGs and what they can look like and should run like and play like and how combat should feel and what narrative should be like.
That element of jank that used to be part and parcel of playing those games.
Right.
They kind of like, pushed that to one side.
And like, one of the
things... A little bit. Some people, control scheme and stuff. I was fine with it.
Colin used to always bitch about that too. He's like, the combat in which... I'm like, I thought the combat in which actually felt really good. I thought the dodge rolls worked for me and then whatever. But in terms of, Mass Effect, there's this thing of it's another game that suffered, I think, when what it came around with, because it came around with Horizon, it came around with Zelda,
right?
And it was that thing of like, man, Horizon, this was great, what an open fleshed out world, it's traditional but not like doesn't feel old or antiquated, right? Here's Zelda, holy shit, they don't hold my hand at all, let's just go do this. And then to start Mass Effect and have it be like, talk to this person. Here's the mission. The mission objective is now plastered on your screen. All right. So just run over there, scan this thing, scan that thing, run back to them. And it was like, I didn't even have to, it reminded me of Amalur Reckoning, whereas like, I didn't have to, I listened to podcasts because I didn't, the dialogue and stuff didn't matter. Like I was just completing the objectives, getting the XP and then moving on to the next thing.
It reminded you of another BioWare IP probably as well.
Dragon Age.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
What they were doing.
And it wasn't like, oh, this reminds me of Mass Effect in a good way. It reminds me in the antiquated feel of what I didn't like about those games coming through. So, yeah.
Well, now I don't want to play, Craig. Cheers.
Jump in there and try it, you jerk. And now there's nothing. It's not up against anybody. It's not going toe-to-toe with either of those games.
Right, yeah.
But you didn't beat Horizon, though, right?
Oh, I beat the shit out of Horizon.
Oh, no, did you? Yeah. Okay, cool.
I fucking adored that game.
Horizon's
awesome. My God.
Yeah. I want some of that DLC.
Yeah, totally.
Number 3. This one's for you, Danny.
Ooh,
hardcore servers are coming to Player Unknown's Battlegrounds via. I'm going to read IGN's article because it was a tweet, but then IGN put a lot of context in there.
Hardcore.
I like that. Good job, Chloe. Rad. First person only servers are coming to Player Unknown's Battlegrounds in its next monthly update.
Jesus.
Announced creator Brendan Player Unknown Green on Twitter earlier today. The update is set to roll out first for NA/EU solo and duo matches and will come to other regions in the future. When asked if this will extend to squad games as well, the team told IGN, quote, "We will use data from these modes to further polish the system and then expand it further." Player Unknown's Battlegrounds can be played in both third and first person, but because of the advantage afforded to players in third person, who can adjust the camera to see over cover or see around corners without putting themselves in danger, the community has long been awaiting official first-person-only servers. The new hardcore servers will not be included in the default queue, so players who want to continue playing in third person don't need to worry about being placed in a first-person-only server against their will. According to Green, quote, "You will not be forced to play on first-person servers!" Exclamation mark. Player Unknown's Battlegrounds is a 64-player last man standing shooter where players start with nothing and fight to locate weapons, vehicles, supplies, forge tenuous alliances, and strive to be the lone survivor on a massive 64-kilometer island.
It's a 99-player last man standing game.
Son of a bitch, IGN!
Is that a console thing, maybe? When they released it on consoles?
It's not on consoles yet,
though. It's not yet.
Yeah, no. Player Unknown's Battlegrounds.
100 people supposed to be, I guess.
Also has a new desert map in the works. The popular Battle Royale-style shooter is still in early access and recently had its full launch delayed to Q4 2017.
Yeah.
You're addicted to this game.
I fucking love it. I got 8 kills last night and came second. I should have gotten the chicken dinner with 9 kills. I, like, destroyed everyone. It was the best I've ever played.
Oh, wow. Really?
I was, like, swapping scopes. I was, like, there was people 50 yards away from me. I was on a 2x scope, and then they're further. I was on a 4x scope. Oh, I murdered everyone. Wow. It was great.
Good job. Are you? Do you play in third person or first?
You have to play in third person. Like, yeah. You would never play first person. You play first person when you're aiming down sights, essentially.
Sure.
But apart from that, because, yeah, it's like a cover shooter. You're basically, like, you know, up against the wall. You can look over. You can even, like, look around corners and stuff. Because you hold Alt, and you can basically move the camera 360 around your character. Alt. So you use that to, like, yeah, Alt. Ain't got that in your DualShock.
Can I not play this thing with a controller?
Can, if you want to get killed. Fucking destroyed. Destroyed right away. Because it's like headshot. It's like playing Counter-Strike on a, controller. So this sounds like a lot of fun. Like, I like the idea of them just, you know, having it so a lot of people won't even notice.
Yeah, because it's just there if you're hardcore and you really want to get in there and play that way. Yeah,
but it's funny, like, because there's elements of that game's design that require you to sort of see your character. Like, you do things like you pick up a lot of clothing. Uh-huh. Your default character when you start off basically is nothing. You unlock the game, you unlock pants and trousers and stuff as you, like, play the game in sort of the outer game. But once you land, like, things like, you know, what backpack you have and what extra gun you have, you're kind of looking at your character to remind yourself, sure, like, oh, I've got a shotgun.
Gotcha.
Every time you get killed, you reset, right? Yeah. So that's interesting. Like, I wonder, will the UI accompany, like, do something to
accommodate
that
and show you, yeah, what guns you have, yeah, or if you think you've equipped a shirt but you haven't or whatever.
Right, because there could be situations where you need to jump into the inventory to sort of see that, and that's a little bit messy. So, like, there are games that I've played where, like, I forget that, like, I was playing yesterday at that 8-kill, somebody on Twitter said, wow, you got to the end without a helmet. And I was like, oh God, I hadn't noticed. I was wearing a baseball cap that entire time. Like, you kind of need a helmet to be able to take any shots. Whereas if I'm playing that first person, I fucking never know.
Yeah. Right? So, naked the whole time.
Yeah. I jump in naked on purpose.
Oh, sure, of course.
Because, like,
you're a man, hardcore,
like,
mode.
Like Celtic warrior style.
Whoa, okay.
It's like the best warriors ran in naked because you're like, I don't need armor.
Sure. Now, are you familiar with Sheamus, the Celtic warrior?
Oh, I am. I saw Sheamus fight back when he was called Sheamus O'Shaughnessy in my hometown.
Whoa.
In, like, our, like, music venue, the Forum.
Yeah.
And he teamed up with Raven.
Oh my God, I loved Raven.
Who was wearing a tie-dye Doors shirt.
Of course, yeah.
Against, like, two other Irish guys. It was part of Irish Whip Wrestling, IWW.
Wow.
And I interviewed Sheamus last year and mentioned it to him.
Yeah.
And he remembered.
He's the best. Sheamus is a really cool dude.
Super guy.
Yeah. Raven, however, I was a huge ECW fan. Huge ECW fan. So when Raven came to WWE, I was like, well, I gotta cheer for this guy. And of course, he was great at the hardcore division and never did anything after that. But I'll never forget, we were leaving the Allstate Arena in Chicago, Illinois, there, or Rosemont, but it doesn't matter for the story. Leaving, and, like, the parking lot was always terrible after these. Right. So we're waiting to get on the actual road, and you looked over, and Raven was just driving the car next to us. And I'm like, holy shit, it's Raven. Like, it was one of those things where everyone in the radius, like, started, and he's, like, doing that, like, hey, I just want to go to fucking better the next show. Can I get out of this fucking place? Good old Raven.
Yeah.
Speaking of Raven, Gregway. A bird's flown to me to tell me what's come to the mom and grop shops.
What?
Digital and in stores.
Okay.
Danny, if I wanted to know what had come, this is your final day to get this right. Andrea's going to come in here, start acting like she owns the place.
Okay.
Where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software as each and every day as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily show. Oh, no, I fucked it up. Kind of Funny Games Daily show host each and every day. The official list of software. No.
It's getting worse. All you screwed up the first time was instead of across.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Across each and every platform.
Yeah.
As this, but I kind of find a show call. Fuck. Have to wait till next week.
Boo. Can he do it on Wednesday, folks? Let's find out. Out today. Serial Cleaner on Xbox One, PS4, and PC. And then on the Wii U. Right. The Wii U. Reptilian Rebellion. Reptilian Rebellion coming out today.
Is it a phone game?
I don't know. I just, again, like I gave, again, hats off to Kotaku for keeping this list updated as they go.
You can buy it on Steam.
I don't even know where you go to find out that Reptilian Rebellion is coming to the Wii U.
Buy it on PC for 99 cents right now.
Oh, that does not look good. Oh, that does not look good.
They're rebelling.
Oh, look at them go.
They're rebelling from graphics.
Where's the new Frogger game?
Here it is. It's called Crossy Road.
I want official Frogger. All right, I don't want those things. And then new dates for you. Sundered is coming to PS4 July 28th. Tooth and Tail, September 12th on PS4. Nidhogg 2, August 15th.
Nidhogg.
And Gravel 2018. Gravel is coming to 2018 sometime. It's some kind of racing thing.
Not Gravel 2018. Next year's Gravel.
Yeah, I know. That's what I thought too. Yeah. That'd be pretty baller though.
John Gravel football.
Yeah. Just Gravel Pit 2018. Do whatever the hell you want to. Are you excited for Nidhogg 2?
Yeah, I am. I love all the conversations about the art style.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. I think it's bonkers looking. People were playing it at PAX and stuff, and I think some folks that were a little bit put off by how it looked have like come around on it.
Yeah. Like, my thing is just like, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love Nidhogg, and I'm excited. Well, I'm sure we'll play Nidhogg 2 here, but it's just like, do we need a Nidhogg 2? Like, I don't know if that's like, Nidhogg was pretty perfect. You know, it's just exactly what it needed. Like,
it's like Hotline Miami, where a lot of people are like,
Hotline Miami screwed it up by making the areas too big.
See, I way prefer Hotline Miami 2.
Really?
Yes. Why? I reviewed both for GameSpot. 2 is my favorite by a mile.
Oh, wow. Okay. What about it? Got it for you?
The fact that it forced you to play a different way, because in the first game, basically you just put the leopard's the tiger head on, and you could own your way through the levels. Whereas in that one, they forced you to like play as the crazy people, like the guy who was right click shot that way, and you know, all these different characters. I thought it was like really harder, which I really liked about it. Yeah. Like, I've completed both games like 4 times, 5 times maybe. Yeah, and I loved that. And also the soundtrack was like 3 times longer and great.
Sure, so, that'll give you. Yeah. And that's not that I hated Hotline Miami 2, just by comparison, Hotline Miami 1 felt so tight. And so I was like, oh, this was great. And Hotline Miami 2 was like walking in and then getting shot from across. I'm like, I can't even fucking see.
Yeah.
This room's huge. This isn't, I'm playing on Vita. I'm like, I don't even know.
Oh, God, yeah, that'll be a nightmare.
What the hell's going on?
Yes, okay. I reviewed it on PlayStation 4 as well as PC.
Yeah.
And it was significantly harder with a controller, because on the PC, it's a mouse cursor. You basically are pointing at the person you want to shoot instead of just like twisting in a circle. So yeah, it's way harder, I think, on that. Vita must have been impossible. I think I did. I must have reviewed the Vita version as well, actually.
Maybe you didn't. Maybe you just phoned it in. You know what I mean?
GameSpot.
Deals of the day. There's a PlayStation Network sale going right now. Some of the standouts is it crosses all platforms, but you can get Mass Effect Andromeda right now, standard for $30, deluxe edition for $35, Injustice 2 standard for $48, deluxe for $60, ultimate for $70. These prices are all available, by the way, till July 17th. Rocket League for $10. I mean, you know, a bunch of the packs are on sale too. Killing Floor 2 is on sale for $20, and then Heart and Slash is $6.79.
$6.79. Classic price.
Let's check in with the readers, Danny.
Let's do it.
Remember, I want you to be part of the show. You go to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Leave your question, comment, concern, new segment, PSN name, Steam name, whatever you want to do. And we read them off here. This is an interesting one for you. Stumpy Bumpy wrote in and said, hello, Greg and Danny. In the Games Daily Show yesterday, your discussion of VR reminded me of an opportunity I used to experience VR. At my university, the library has an Oculus Rift that you can reserve for a few hours to experience virtual reality, and a quick Google search brought up plenty of other major U.S. universities, such as University of Alabama, University of Arizona, Georgetown University, North Carolina State University, Temple University, University of Wisconsin, and more. I think this would be an awesome opportunity for kind of funny best friends like me, who are poor college students, to get to experience new VR technology. I wanted to let you guys know about this so people can go experience VR. Keep up the great work. Best, Stumpy Bumpy.
That's a great idea.
That's really cool. I never would have thought about a library having Oculuses there that you could go in and rent out. I wonder if they have the space too. They have the computer. Is it all? Is like a room?
Yeah, you like go to the library.
A headset.
And the lady walks over and is like, "Here you go. Yeah. Plug it in over there."
Yeah, exactly. You're like, what? No, gross.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a cool idea.
There was my wife's brother works in a university in Rhode Island, and in one of their technology departments, they also had a room set up with an Oculus Rift in it. So it must just be it makes sense if you've got people working in that realm of technology to have a dedicated
room. You figure, especially for college, right? Of like, you're taking classes about building those games, you assume, or building that kind of technology. You need to be able to try it somewhere.
It affects so many different types of things, like, you know, even just like inventing or medical stuff. Like, there's loads of different individual applications for VR, which, you know, universities are always on the bleeding edge. They're always like trying to answer a question that hasn't been asked yet.
Sure.
So, like, that seems like a pretty good way of doing it. I wonder if you could buddy up with, like, if you could meet some best friends at a college and, like, all three of you go or whatever, go there and actually rent it out.
The one thing though, Danny.
Yeah, but then you talk about it.
Oh, you
know,
a college let's play. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, okay. It's like you go to the restaurant and get one meal and you just eat it together and talk about it.
Sure.
I liked the burger.
Okay.
Did you like the fries?
That's a weird. With you until that analogy.
Let's eat. Hey,
Graham wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, do developers and publishers look at anything other than sales figures before greenlighting sequels to games? I played and loved Mirror's Edge Catalyst, though I know the reception was lukewarm. The website and art books for the game have a massive amount of world building and lore, and it's clear that the developers have a passion and love for the series. Can the desire of developers to continue their series ever be more influential than sales numbers? Will we see a Mirror's Edge 3? Keep up the fantastic work. You get me through my work commute every day, and I sincerely think The Kind of Funny is currently putting out its strongest content so far. Thanks, Graham.
Thanks, Graham.
I agree with you, Graham. Yeah, they look at a number of different things, but I think you're looking at this equation wrong. What you're talking about, you know, do they look at anything other than sales, right? Yeah, they look at passion, they listen to their audience, and they want, of course, even though it's all about dollars and cents because these are businesses, there is goodwill that go into it. You're saying, will you ever see Mirror's Edge 3? No. Because you saw Mirror's Edge Catalyst.
Yeah.
Mirror's Edge, the original Mirror's Edge, was the same thing, where it was like lukewarm reception, like a lot of cool ideas, but it didn't come together. And but then there were the people who just loved it and thought it was amazing and didn't shut up about it for years.
Yeah.
And every E3 were like, is it, Mirror's Edge, Mirror's Edge, Mirror's Edge. And I think for EA, it was the decision of, we're not going to make a lot of money on this game, but it will satisfy an audience, that it will answer a question, and it'll make us look better.
Yep.
EA is the company, right? And like when Peter Moore was there, he was very open and honest about like, yeah, you know, we keep getting voted the worst company in the world. That's why we're doing this Gamers First initiative. That's why we're making Yarny. That's why we're putting out Mirror's Edge. Like they have, and I probably continue to do, you know, they make choices that are good for gamers. That was their big thing. And that it sucks that for a company as big as EA to have a motto that's like good for, it's good for gamers or whatever, sounds like they're being fucking asshole-ish. Right. But they weren't, from what I saw. And it's back to what we're talking about with Dream Daddy. These are developers who try really fucking hard. And it's easy to say, oh, they work at EA, so fuck them. That's the big corporation, blah, blah, blah. That's not how it is. You talk about the lore, you talk about the art. Yeah, that's all there. They, the people who made Mirror's Edge Catalyst, I'm sure, love Mirror's Edge and wanted it to be something.
Like, Mirror's Edge Catalyst did not get made because of sales figures. Like, Mirror's Edge Catalyst is the what proves that there are other reasons they make games.
Yeah.
Because that first game did not sell. It had, like, a darling sort of community around it, and people liked it, and it probably did quite well. You know, probably had a long tail. I wouldn't say particularly high tail, but long. And, like, the fact that it got made, like you said, is one of those EA goodwill. Like, they don't just look at sales. When a publisher is putting out games, it's looking at its suite. It's looking at, like, 3 years of games.
Sure.
And for a company like EA, that's a lot of annualized franchises, a lot of jumping in and out of biannual franchises. And they need something in there to, like, sort of sweeten the deal. And also, like, to keep their developers interested. It's the same reason things like Grow Home get made at Ubisoft, right? Where, like, to foster that culture of creativity is, like, super important. And maybe in Mirror's Edge, they don't end up having, you know, a massive success with Catalyst, but perhaps there are, like, leads on that team who have now got way more experience working on a project that can be brought into to other parts of the
100%
team. So I don't think there'll be a three. I think Catalyst went in the exact wrong direction. It went open world when it should have gone more cinematic, which is a bit of a shame. But, you know, who knows? Like, we might be interviewing some developer 4 years from now who made the best EA game ever, and we find out that they were a level designer on Catalyst, and that's what gave them this thing, you know?
I think one of the big things is that you won't see Mirror's Edge 3 based on the fact that I think this satiated the people that need to satiate.
Yes.
Here's another Mirror's Edge. And people are like, oh, wasn't that good? And now I don't hear people asking for another Mirror's Edge. It was like, all right, cool. You, thank you. You tried. It wasn't what we wanted necessarily. And now we're on to something else.
It's like Andromeda.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Right. I mean, another great example of this is Dead Space, right?
Right.
I fucking love Dead Space. I thought Dead Space 2 was even better. And then I did not like Dead Space 3. Right. And when they put out Dead Space 3, the guy was like, it needs to sell something stupid. It needs to sell like 7 million copies, he said, for there ever be a Dead Space 4.
And like well, Dead Space was launched as part of that initiative. The EA, what was it? They ran forever where they were making like new IP. I forget. Yeah. But like they put that game out not necessarily expecting it to sell gangbusters.
Sure.
And then it became their biggest thing. And yeah, there's some really good videos. I forgot who did them, god damn it, was it Mark, I forget, who broke down the difference between Dead Space 1, 2 and 3, and like how they basically morphed it into a AAA game.
It went from being so survival horror to so I'm just a badass action guy and I'm shooting stuff. It's like, all right, Dead Space 2 had the right balance though, that's what I thought.
Great.
Charles Jacobson, what up, Charles? Wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD just like you should and can. Says, greetings, cookies and cream.
Ooh,
Greg and Danny.
I'll take it.
D2317 will have live streams of games, including Spider-Man and Kingdom Hearts 3. Do you think there's a chance they will actually announce a date for Spider-Man at D23? If they have nothing major to announce for the nearby future, parentheses, Kingdom Hearts 3 will be out when Greg's firstborn can say Superman, I feel it makes sense to hold off on a date at E3 and announce at D23, especially with their renewed focus on games. Sincerely yours, Charles J. I don't think you're going to get a date there, but you do make a good point that if I am, if Disney wants to benefit Disney, like there would be a point there at some point of like, yeah, well, we did this, but we get this announcement. But it just seems like a weird place to announce it in terms of like...
It's the wrong audience.
Yeah, I think Spider-Man's a release date. I would imagine you get best case scenario at Game Awards this year. Mm. Like leading, and like I should say Game Awards slash PSX.
Right.
Because those kind of go hand in hand. PSX would make more sense because, hey, we're on the other side of Black Friday and all the big releases and we're out of the way of the AAA space or third party space and you get to see what's going on. Let's get you excited for what's coming. But even saying that, I could totally see it just being we wake up one day and on the PlayStation blog, there's a new trailer and like, hey, this is what's happening. In January, we see it announcing for that year.
Totally. Yeah, it doesn't seem like the right time for that necessarily because they're not talking to a gamer crowd at D23.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, what if I would bet that you're just going to see the same Spider-Man demo you saw at E3. Yeah.
And there's maybe, probably plenty of people at D23 have never seen it. Yeah. Probably never seen the game.
Yeah, exactly. So here you go. This is what it is. Great. Talk to you in 2018.
Woo.
And then, movies. Kingdom Hearts 3. What? I think you're getting a trailer. Tim's always running around being excited about that crap. Him and Alexa Ray.
Right, yeah.
Jonathan Dornbush. Get out of my
house.
The
book just came out, did it?
Oh, no. Papers. The notes are gone. We can do whatever we want. We can do whatever we want.
Oh, my God. Oh, shit. I think Alexa's book came out, didn't it?
Huh?
Alexa's
book is out. Yeah. Yeah. Boss Key books.
Woo.
Kingdom Hearts 3. Got a popsicle on the cover.
It does.
Or an ice cream bar.
Why is that? They always do...
I don't know.
Spelunky had the eggplant because there's the eggplant running. So it's always something to do
does
with it.
Does it look like a Keyblade? I don't know.
Maybe.
It was the Keyblade inspired by a popsicle? I guarantee if we watched the games cast about Kingdom Hearts with those three people,
right.
They told it. It's up right now on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Trevor Starkey, you're welcome to tell us in the kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong. What's going on with that?
Yes.
Night Mist wrote in and said, is spoiler culture ruining the conversation about games with great stories? When I hear conversations about multiplayer or games as service games, they are riddled with personal stories about specific moments that make the game sound amazing. But when conversations about story-based games are happening, it feels like everyone is excitedly reading generic quotes off the back of the box to avoid any and all spoilers. What's the point of wanting to be part of the conversation when everyone is too afraid to say anything?
I don't know. I feel like that's been facilitated on spoiler threads on Reddit and spoiler casts and like that stuff.
Yeah.
Like I think it's the benefit outweighs. I'm super spoiler sensitive. Like I have like, you know, like there's my subconscious will do anything to take any information somebody says and turn it into what I think the spoiler is, even if people aren't trying to say spoilers.
Yeah.
So like I think the benefit to like not spoiling things for people vastly outweighs the benefit you would get from having a chat with somebody about it. Like I think the impetus should always be on that person to make sure that they're not ruining that experience for somebody else. So I like the fact that people are sensitive about
it. It's one of those, I feel like this isn't a new thing. When you when you talk about movies or books, you talk about them in generalities of like, oh, and that ending. And could you believe that guy said that or made that choice? Like, that's just how it is. And so, yeah, I think, you know, he's making an interesting comment on like PlayerUnknown. I think we talked about this with Anthony yesterday on the Gamescast in the fact that PlayerUnknown is a super shareable game, right? Where it is like something crazy happens and you hit the share button and you clip it out and you put it up. We talked about this too. You clip it out and you put it out. But it's like, yeah, like when I get to an awesome stories part in Persona, I don't clip it. Oh, I can't. But if I could, I don't clip it out and put it out right away.
Yeah.
So there's a different way to share and disseminate information. And like, it has to come down to, again, the personalities, people you trust who are talking about, holy shit, Persona story is great, or, you know, Horizon story is great, and I loved where it went. And you have to weigh if you usually agree with them and then go off and do that. Because it sucks for me to sit here and be like, well, Horizon's ending is this, and that's why it was a great build up to that. Like, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah. The reason people are a bit more sensitive about watching live television shows and tweeting every single thing that happens.
Right.
Because it's like, you're preaching to the choir.
And that's the balance with... That sounds shitty. I was gonna say a full-fledged game, but that doesn't sound right. But a game that has both gameplay and story, right? Where I think Horizon, I never shared my story things, but I shared cool kills and cool gameplay clips and like beautiful views. I was all over that photo mode. There's different ways of sharing that aren't, I took a motorcycle off a ramp, jumped off, landed on the building, ran down, shot this guy in the head who was camping. Like, those are great clips I love to watch on Twitter, but they're different things.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe, like, look around. I feel like there are conversations about that stuff. You just have to find the people who want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is the opposite of how the internet works now, which is that you throw out an idea and people come to you for it.
Exactly.
On Twitter and stuff. So it's a little bit counterintuitive maybe, but yeah.
Final question for the week.
Make it a good one.
Comes from Doug in Montana. MT, right? Doug. That's Montana.
What the fuck are you asking
Kevin,
me?
Is MT Montana? Seems like something you would know. Somebody Google it. Greg and his beautiful female counterpart co-host, parentheses Danny. So apparently, the Xbox X, it is? Montana, nail it. Xbox X, he says, but it's Xbox One X, has an improved hard drive and thus faster load times. Load times in games this gen can be brutal. I know that Greg had mentioned before that if the PS Pro, and he means PS4 Pro, you're driving me crazy right now, Doug from Montana, had this feature, it would entice him to possibly upgrade. Why isn't Microsoft screaming this from the rooftops? Curious to hear your thoughts. Also, and much more importantly, do you think that the Xbox One X was named as such so that X could give it to you? Kevin, hit the music. Really enjoying this show. Keep it up. X gonna give it to you. He gonna give it to you. You're just dancing. I thought, where's gonna
there we go. Turn it on and just starts barking at you.
So Doug's going back to a point I made, yeah, when they announced the PlayStation 4 at that event. I thought it was a totally flat presentation conference, right, of like, oh man, I'm like, I was excited for if it loaded faster, if it had ran menus faster, if it did trophies faster, if it had, eventually I came out and they're like, oh, it does all that.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, and I had the thing. Well, why didn't you say that? Why didn't you do it? And I think it's the same argument here, is that if you say that, you are saying the other Xbox is a piece of shit.
Right.
That, hey, everybody, this one doesn't do anything well. Sorry. Yeah. This one does everything better.
And they're still trying to sell those. And
like, exactly.
You know, you heard Phil Spencer talking at E3, and he was saying, like, by the end of the year, we fully expect to sell more of the Xbox One S than the Xbox One X.
Yeah.
Like, that's the one that's going to sell more. This is the premium one.
Yeah.
So the last thing they want to do is do that. There's also, like, loads of other things that go into, like, load time specifically.
Yeah.
Like, you can A-B test the UI or, like, the interface a decent amount to be like, oh, it's like apples to apples. It's very different. Legacy games, depending on how the game is made and structured, like, it may or may not have a benefit. And then new games, you don't notice a benefit necessarily because, well, you can't account for the way games are going to get made, and also there's no way of comparing it if they weren't out prior to, I guess you could compare with the other Xbox, but like, it's a dangerous one to like bet on as well, like, yeah, because you're ultimately there in control of the interface stuff, but games, what, as a more broad sort of application, they're not really in charge of that. They can't guarantee that games are going
to
run
faster.
And that's
the whole thing. It's not like a guarantee, yeah, it's going to do this faster. It's going to get you past the title screen quicker.
But it is crazy to, like, I still have an external hard drive plugged into my PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
Like, just, we live in a really weird place.
Well, I mean, that's the
storage.
To this point, right, like, I don't know if, and I don't know for the Xbox One X, and I don't, and honestly, I don't even know for the PlayStation 4 Pro. Mm. We have a PlayStation 4 Pro in the office we use, and when we were doing the setting up for Friday the 13th Let's Play, was a really, I've played games on it, but I haven't gotten into the minutia stuff of it because usually Kevin sets it up. Mm. And jumping into my library, the way it popped up quicker, jumping up here, like, things popped on that menu quicker, and I was like, oh, dude, this is fucking rad. But it's like, it's not, I want to go spend this money on it right now, rad. Right. Like, I'm still in the camp of, I don't have 4K TV, so. Mm. When it's gonna have to get to a point of supreme inconvenience for me to buy until one of my PlayStation 4s dies.
Die, right.
And it's one of those that jumping in and playing right now, yeah, okay, I usually get codes or whatever, or download games from here to the home console. So I come home, they're already ready to go. If it is an occasion where I am downloading a patch or something, when out there, it goes fast enough.
Yeah.
I'm hardwired. It's not like I'm really sitting there. Mm. And I haven't gotten to a point where I'm like, I'm seeing that you're way ahead of me, or you're getting a better performance. Like, yeah, I get it. That's a better machine than the machine I have.
Yeah.
My next PlayStation 4 will be a PlayStation 4 Pro.
It's like someone else's phone. You're like, oh, it loads faster. Yeah. Like, you know, I'll get
but
there.
But it's eventually. Like, if we get to Destiny 2 and we get in and we're all playing it, and, you know, the PlayStation 4 version is running way better and looking way better, then I'd be like, oh, fuck, maybe there are reasons now. But for jank-ass Friday the 13th and Marvel Heroes Omega, I'm like, it's fine, whatever, I don't care.
And when there's pitching these games, like, they've only got, like, one or two things that they can really, like, make sure that people remember once they've left the conference.
Yeah.
And something tells me this is always, like, fifth or sixth in line.
Yeah,
like, games will look better. Like, that's the most important.
And it's one of those, don't even get me started. I think Xbox will be better at getting their messaging out there once it's time and getting it out to their fans or whatever. That was the whole thing with PlayStation, where it was just like, all right, cool. Like, you know, like, I'm Mr. PlayStation, you know what I mean?
Right.
I had another Mr. PlayStation, and it was like, we were like, we didn't really like it. And everyone's like, all right, fine. Well, we're not gonna try to sell you on it. It's like, oh, really? Okay. Like, I thought you would. Like, I thought at some point, someone in PlayStation would have come up to us, and I don't even mean, like, I know there was a whole hullabaloo at the time. I don't mean, like, sending us one. I just mean one of my trusted PlayStation friends being like, no, you got this all wrong. Like, this is why it's great. Like, over a beer, we're just chilling out at a house. Yeah. This is why this is, and no one's ever been like, no, everybody's like, everybody on both sides of this equation are just like, yeah, they run faster. They're a little bit better.
It's almost like system. People are worried to overpromise.
Yeah, I know.
Like, it's an expectation thing or something. Yeah. Like, Like they're treating it more as a, I think it's that element of this is not a new console. This is an incremental thing.
Yep.
This is the first time either of us have done this. This is probably going to be the future of consoles.
Yep.
And the same as every other piece of hardware, basically.
Yeah.
So like, they're just being a little bit delicate. But you're right. It's like that delicacy is like totally, you know, the opposite of what they usually do, which is boom, boom.
Do
you know?
This. This is why this is great. And it's just neither of them have made a compelling case for me to get off my ass and be like, all right, here's why I need to put another $500, $400 into
this. Disk drive will break or something.
And then I'll be all set. Like, don't run the PlayStation 4 in the bedroom, which is the 20th anniversary one. I'll get a couple weeks out of it. And then it just does the thing of like, beep, beep. Baby, I'm like, there's no disc in you, and I'll go over and tighten the screw. Like, I don't even put the faceplate back on. I tighten the screw, and then eventually, baby, I'm like, fuck you.
I have to. I by the end of my Xbox 360, I had to open the disc drive with a knife.
Yeah,
to like yank it open, and then it went.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, motherfucker.
Yeah, put me.
Put in Burnout Paradise.
This could be the last one you ever do, and the last game you'll ever put in. Danny, it's time to squat up.
Woo!
Which means you get to go look to see what we got wrong over at Kinda Funny. .com/you're wrong. Today, of course, squad up, you know it. You go to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. You put in your name, your why you need friends. We read it aloud here. You get some friends. People play games. Everybody's happy. Spencer D from Michigan writes in and says he needs friends on PC and gives his Discord name.
Ooh.
His Discord name is nerdlife451, all one word, and then he puts number 3881.
Need that number as well.
I don't know. Discord is very confusing to me. It's too new.
It's a little bit like friends codes.
I hop into it and I'm like, I can't understand this, and I get scared and people try to talk me down. Anyways, Spencer, or I should say Nerdlife 451, number sign 3881, says, I just recently built my first gaming computer and have a few pretty popular games like PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, but playing alone gets boring, so I could really use some friends. So if any best friends out there want to play together or just chat, they can add me on Discord. Parentheses, P.S. Keep it up with the lovely Irish cream.
Yeah. Welcome to PC video games.
Boo.
The good life.
We lost another one. Enjoy Excel. Remember going squat up on Discord with Nerdlife 451, hashtag 3881. Danny, what did we get wrong?
Not much.
Good.
There's a lot of editorializing in here.
Stop editorializing.
I'm going to skip the editorializing. Base, and we didn't even get it wrong. We just asked the question.
Okay, good. I can take that.
Grumpy Goron says, the popsicle you were referring to in Kingdom Hearts is known as sea salt ice cream. It is essentially an ice cream that the characters eat when hanging out together. Not the most amazing explanation, but an explanation nonetheless.
Thank you. That's what we needed. That's all we needed. Thank you.
Oh, that's pretty much it. You know what? Let's just... It's the end of the week. Thank you for writing in. Let's just say that... Jason Schreier is getting blamed. Nickster 214 says Jason Schreier, the destroyer of release dates, deemed that Dream Daddy was going to get delayed. He said that. That's why it got delayed.
Okay.
Which is the way of things. And then Capitalist Pig, who looks like John Mignocchi, said Frank Chabot of EA said that they needed 5 million, not 7 million, like was said, copies. Oh, that is a correction. Of the game to justify making games in the franchise.
Dead Space, yeah.
Yeah, we have a quote here. In general, we're thinking about how we make this a more broadly appealing franchise because ultimately you need to get an audience size of around 5 million to really continue to invest in an IP like Dead Space. Anything less than that and it becomes quite a difficult financially given how expensive it is to make games and how to market it.
That's a good one. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Games cost $5 million. That's what Frank says.
That's what he says. Boom. Make $5 million and that's the end of that. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, July 14th, 2017. Thank you for this journey. Remember, you can subscribe to this show over on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services around the globe. You can also watch it as we record it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. As soon as we finish recording, I go and I read the subs and tips that came in while we were live. No matter where you consume it, thank you for consuming it. It would mean a lot if you subscribed, you liked, you shared, you reviewed, you took your Amazon Prime and gave it to us on Twitch Prime. It keeps the lights on and the mics going. Danny?
What up, sir?
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks.
What are you
going to
play this weekend?
What am I going to play this weekend? I'm going to play a hell of a lot of Can't Talk About It because it's the next NoClip project. And then I'm probably going to give a go to Andromeda.
Nice. All right, cool. Right. Yeah. I think this is the one. I think I'm gonna make my list of things and where my release dates are and say goodbye to everything and go to Persona Town.
Nice.
I think I start my Persona Death March until I beat it.
A bunch of people asking, or basically pitching Persona 5 to me on Twitter this week.
You ain't got time for that. You ain't got time for that.
Not right now, but we'll see.
One day?
Yeah.
All right. Well, until next time. It's been our pleasure to serve you.